Now we have the bride of the Lamb and the marriage supper, verses 7 and 8. Will you notice this carefully? Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us give the glory unto Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, I think this is the most thrilling experience that the church will ever have and that believers will have. The church, the body of believers, all the way from Pentecost to the Parousia, is presented now as a bride to Christ in marriage. And the marriage takes place in heaven. And this is a heavenly scene, too, by the way. And that's the reason that Paul emphasized down here that the marriage of believers, and by the way, when Paul is talking in the fifth chapter of Ephesians about the husband and the wife and all the relationships, he's talking about those that are filled with the Spirit. In other words, he says, be filled with the Spirit, and these are the things that will flow from that. And you couldn't have a Christian home without a Spirit-filled husband and a Spirit-filled wife. And frankly, I just don't believe that you can have a real Christian home and know what real love is until both of you are believers. Now, will you listen to this? Ephesians 5, 25, 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, that's the picture of the relationship of Christ and the church. Now, we're living in the day of new morality, and I'll sound like a square, but I'm not going around in circles, I'll tell you that. Did you know that today we've had an avalanche of sex, and this generation knows a great deal about sex? I watched a young couple down at Palm Springs, and I felt so sorry for this boy and this girl, necking like nobody's business, right in public. And I thought, what does that little girl and that little boy really know about love and what it really means for a man to love a woman and a woman to love a man? I'm afraid that there are a great many Christians don't know about that today. And many of you, especially you husbands, you remember the first time that you looked at your wife and she was yours? You'd been joined in marriage and she's now yours. Wasn't that a thrilling moment for you? And you remember, wife, when you looked up at that old ugly boy that you married, and you thought he was so wonderful, and he put his arms around you. Wasn't that a thrilling moment for you? Well, may I say here, you have a picture of that day when Christ is going to draw us to himself, cleansed and purified. And young lady, young man, that's the reason in this day of new morality that you should bring purity to the marriage altar. God have mercy on some of you fellas that are marrying secondhand girls. Don't get them at the secondhand store. Get them brand new. It's lots better that way. Now, here is a marvelous picture of the church and of Christ. Be joined together in that day. And it's just the church. You remember even John the Baptist, he designated himself as a friend of the bridegroom. He says the one who has the bride is the bridegroom, says, I'm just a friend. And the bride occupies a unique position to Christ. You see, he loved the church. He gave himself for it. And you remember what he said in that great high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 23 to 26. Let me read this. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That is something that is so wonderful here, to know him. We're going to know him, actually, for the first time. But let's look at something else. We're told here the wedding gown of the church is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, this is a difficult concept to accept, for it's impossible, you see, for us to stand before Christ in our own righteousness. Paul wrote, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." That's in Philippians 3:9. You see, by faith we can trust Christ, not only for forgiveness of sins, but for the impartation to us of his righteousness. Then why does John say that the wedding garment is the righteous acts of the saint? Well, you see, a wedding gown is used but once. We will be clothed with the righteousness of Christ throughout eternity. We as believers will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged about our sins in reference to salvation, but for rewards. Now, through the ages, believers have been performing righteous acts which are accumulating to adorn the wedding gown. By the way, I don't mean to be personal, but what are you doing to adorn that wedding gown? What are you doing for the Lord today? Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 3:12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, that is of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." You see, gold, silver, and precious stones will survive the fire. Wood and stubble will go up in smoke. Now, the good works, therefore, are the wedding garment of the church. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Now, after the wedding dress is laid aside. And we've already seen that the elders place their crowns at the feet of the Lamb, proclaiming that he alone is worthy. You see, the church will reveal his glory, not their glory. We are told again in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We'll be on display, sinners saved from hell, if you please, in heaven now. We'd have no right there if we didn't have his right and if we didn't belong to him. You see, the relationship of Christ and the church, it's intimate, it's different, it's delightful. No other creature in God's universe will enjoy such sweetness as we will someday.